Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International on this Sunday morning to the special edition of the Q&A. The time right now is 13 minutes past 9 and we are joined on the line by Mufti Zubair Bayat Saab of Durban. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Yes, Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab, for joining us on the Sunday morning on the program.
Ji, ameen.
Ji, Mufti Saab, we'll start with it. The first question that we have is, due to colds and flus at the time, at this time of the year, can a person take steam by covering the face over the steam to inhale?
I also got a bit of a cold, Maulana, make dua.
Gee.
But no, you can't use steam. You cannot use anything that has got some vapor in it to inhale, because that will cause the fast to break. So you have to just sort of bear with it, inshallah. Take your medication at Sehri time, take your medication at Iftar time, and whatever other precautions you can take or measures you can take, that will be fine. But no, one is not allowed to take steam.
Gee, and can one apply Vicks on the outside of the nose, Mufti Saab?
Yes, the Vicks can be applied. There's no problem with applying the Vicks on the outside of the nose.
Okay. Just a reminder to the listeners, you can send in your questions via email on idaya at radioislam.co.za. There is idaya at radioislam.co.za, or you could even call in. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, or you could WhatsApp us or SMS us, and that number is 081-437-0565. That is 081-437-0565. Mufti Saab, the next question is, can one be given blood, or can one give blood while fasting?
Yes, blood can be donated when a person is fasting, but it's not advisable because it could, you know, make you weak. But if it doesn't make you weak and you can manage, doesn't affect you in any way, then there is no issue with it.
Gee, and we do have one call on the line. We'll take that call now. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Well, I just want to know, you know, the varicose vein stockings that you wear, can you make masah over it, or do you have to take out the stockings every time you make wazoo?
Gee, Mufti Saab, did you get that?
Gee, I got the question, gee. See, in that instance, you should actually, you have to take it off and then make wuzu, wash your feet.
Okay.
Because obviously the varicose vein socks is not the same as a moza or a khuf, as it is called in Arabic, which meets the requirements for masah. However, one could do this, that you could put on the varicose vein sock and wear the moza on top of it.
Sure.
That way you have no issue then. You make basa on the moza and you got your sock below that.
Okay. And I want
so
to
that
ask
way there's no need then to take it off every time. And at the same time, the need for washing won't remain there.
Jazakallah khairan for that. Mufti Saab, the next question is, if a hafiz who is performing tarawih, he cannot stand, is it permissible for him to sit on a chair and lead the salah?
It's permissible for him to lead the salah, yes, but not to lead the salah. I think if they're asking, is it permissible for him to sit on a chair and read the salah, that won't be an issue. But obviously he can't lead the salah. In other words, now he's sitting on a chair and the muqtadis behind him are standing. So no, he shouldn't be leading the salah.
Okay, Jazakullah khairan for that. Mufti Saab, the next question says that, what is the method for performing salah to tasbih for the Hanafis?
Okay, the method of performing the salah to tasbih really, there's two methods, slightly different from each other. So we could explain both the methods, inshallah ta'ala. When a person wants to read Salatul Tasbih, first of all, you should make intention that I am reading Salatul Tasbih for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we commence with the Salatul Tasbih as normal what we would with every other Salah, with Takbir et Tahreema. Thereafter, a person would read the Sana and the Surah Fatiha and the Surah, and then read 15 times the third kalima, and then go into ruku and read the tasbihat of the ruku, and then read 10 times the third kalima. When I say third kalima, I mean subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, and then come up and in Qawma, again read 10 times the third kalima after the Qawma dua, and then go into Sajda and read the Tasbih of the Sajda, and then 10 times the third kalima, and then in between the two Sajdas in the Jalsa to read again 10 times the third kalima, and then in the second Sajda after the Tasbihat read again the third kalima 10 times, and then sit between the two rakats in the attahiyat posture and read 10 times the third kalima, and then stand up for the second rakat and do exactly the same thing in the second rakat, except in the second rakat after the attahiyat a person will read the third kalima 10 times and then stand up for the third rakat, and the same will happen in the third rakat what happened in the first rakat, and in the fourth rakat after having read at-tahiyat, durood and the dua, then read the third kalima 10 times and then make salam. So if we do a count, we'll see that before, when we were in qiyam, we read 15 times, that is before going to ruku. Then in ruku another 10 times, so that's 25. In Qawma, 35. In the first sajda, 45. In Jalsa, 55. In the second sajda, 65. Between the two rakats, that sitting posture, 75. The idea is we have to read 75 times third kalima in each rakat, each of the four rakats of Salatul Tasbih, so that we can complete a count of 300 in the four rakats. So this is the one method of doing the Salatul Tasbih. The second method is where you will start the Salah, read the Sana in the beginning, and then read 15 times the third kalima, then start with the Suratul Fatiha, and then the Surah, and before going into Ruku, 10 times you'll read the third kalima, and you'll do the same in all the other rakats, where first you start with the third kalima 15 times, then the Suratul Fatiha, and then the Surah, and then 10 times before going into rakat, into the ruku. So that will be the difference between the first method and the second method. In the second method, when you are sitting, then there's no reading in that posture. In other words, you don't have to read it between the two rakats. You just stand up from the second sajda into the second rakat, and so on, you will do the Salatul Tasbih in that method. So it is a choice a person can choose, whichever of the methods is easy and convenient and comfortable. Accordingly, we could do. So the total is 300 in the four rakats. That's important to remember.
Jazakumullah khair. And we go to the lines now. We do have a call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah increase our knowledge, inshallah.
Ameen.
Mufti Sahib, what I want to know is, can, question one, can you dilute Zamzam water?
Okay. Yes,
another question, can I ask, pose another question?
Can I just answer them as you go along, inshallah?
Ji, please do.
Ji, yes, one can dilute Zamzam water. In fact, if one dilutes, one doesn't have sufficient quantity of Zamzam water and one dilutes it, then inshallah, the effect of that Zamzam will be in whatever it has been diluted into, it will be felt in that.
Yes.
Okay, Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. The second question is, in Nafil Salah, because of the merit of the Surah of Kul Huwallah, can you repeat it every time, three times in every Salah, and does this constitute completing the Quran by reading it three times in each rakah?
Okay. It is permissible in Nafil Salah to read Suratul Ikhlas, Kul Wallahu Ahad, to read it three times or more than that to any number of times, seven times, 11 times, 13 times, whatever number a person wants to read it is allowed to do so. However, it will not constitute completing the Quran. You will get the reward of reading one Quran reading one third of the Quran for every time you read Suratul Ikhlas, but it doesn't constitute completion of the Quran. Just the reward. Completion of the Quran is only attained by completing the entire reading of the Quran.
Jazakumullah khairan. Mufti Sahib, with regards to Salatul Tasbih, can it be performed in two rakats or four rakats? And Master,
no, the Salatul Tasbih, Maulana, is performed in four rakats, not in two rakats.
And should Sana be recited in each rakat, Mufti Sahib?
No. Sana is not recited in each rakat. It's only read in the first, in the beginning, when we comment like we do in every other Salah.
Okay, Jazakumullah khairan for that.
But yes, the shahud will be read between, in the second rakat, one will sit and read the shahud, and like how one does in any four rakats of salah. Only one sana in the beginning, and between the two rakats, a person will sit and read the shahud, and stand up, and then in the last rakat, again there will be the tashahud and the durood and the dua.
Yes, Mufti Sahib, the next question reads, can we perform less than 20 rakats of Taraweeh due to tiredness instead of leaving the Taraweeh Salah out?
One should try and read the 20 rakats best as possible. You know, obviously we are human, we get tired, but if we pluck up a bit of courage and we try, alhamdulillah, there are people, very, very old people in our masjid here. We have an elderly person who's perhaps well over 90s, but every day, alhamdulillah, he's here for his Salatul Taraweeh from so many Ramadans now. And, of course, he sits on a chair because of old age, but the complete Taraweeh of 20 rakats is read. So in this manner, one should try to read the full 20 rakats of Taraweeh. If you're feeling tired and you just can't manage it, sit and read. Sit down and read. If you can't sit on the floor, you can sit on a chair for as many rakats as you can't manage, but try to read the entire Taraweeh. Try not to skip it out. Your Quran won't even be completed in the Taraweeh, which is a very important sunnah, besides the 20 rakats itself being a sunnah. Listening to the entire Quran in Taraweeh is also an important sunnah. So try to uphold that, inshallah ta'ala.
Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Mufti Saab, the next question is, how do you calculate kafara for the deceased for salah not fulfilled?
Okay, for salah that have not been fulfilled, first of all, we use the proper accurate term to use for that is fidya rather than kafara. People generally use the word kafara, we understand what it means, but it's better to use the correct terminology. So the correct terminology for musallas that need to be expiated is fidya rather than kafara. For misfast also, we say fidya. Kafara, on the other hand, is for the fast that was broken deliberately. Then for that, there is a kafara. An oath that was taken and it was not fulfilled, or a vow that was taken and it wasn't fulfilled, for that there is a kafara. But for mis-salat and fast, we use the term fidya. So nevertheless, I thought it's important to just explain the difference between the terminology of kafara and fidya. However, people do use the term kafara in this context, and we understand it, what they're meaning. So therefore, it's not an issue. As far as the fidya is concerned, for salat that were not fulfilled, one has to estimate how many salahs were missed if you don't have the exact count. If you have the exact count, there's no problem. If you don't have the exact count, you have to do an estimation. And then, after you estimate the total number of salahs that have been missed, then per salah, you pay what is the value of Sadaqatul Fitr, which is of 20 rand, 22 rand, whatever the figure is in your part of the country. Different provinces have different calculations for the Sadaqatul Fitr. I think Jamiatul Ulama, South Africa, Maulana, what's the, it's about 25 rand if I'm not mistaken?
Jima.
Is it 25?
Jima, just check it up and then we'll clarify.
Okay, fine. And so whatever the value of Sadaqatul Fitr is, that is the amount that must be discharged as fidya in lieu of every salah that is missed, as well as every fast that has been missed.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question reads, is it jais to use an asthma pump while fasting?
No, it is not permissible to use an asthma pump while fasting, because you're not supposed to take in any kind of medication, even if it is in a vapor form. One should not inhale it or take it in, because that will nullify the fast. So the asthma pump is not to be taken while fasting. That is the view of the ulama in our contemporary times as far as the asthma pump is concerned.
Yes, Mufti Saab, just a few messages that have come through. Just to read out one, can you make masa on the diver kind of socks? The fabric does not absorb water at all.
If a person is going to make masa on those kind of socks, then it must fulfill the conditions that are required for such socks. Number one is that it must be completely waterproof. It must not allow any water to enter it. The second condition is it must be firm enough, strong enough to walk a distance of 3 miles. And the third thing is that it must be able to stand on its own without just falling down, which is called istimsak. In other words, it stands; it doesn't just roll off. So these are the three conditions. If these conditions are found in the diver socks, or nowadays you have what is called the seal skin socks, etc., these are also, they have been tested by some of the muftis of our country and elsewhere, and they found that it has met the condition, so masa can be made on these, because they are meeting the condition of the jurist, and they are equivalent to the leather sock, which is called the khuf. So these kind of socks, then it would be permissible to make masah on them if these conditions are met. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the diver's socks probably do meet those conditions.
Just to clarify that the Fiji amount is 22 rand.
It's 22 rand. I'm okay. Alhamdulillah.
The next question, Muftisab, does a daughter-in-law inherit in her father-in-law's estate?
No, the daughter-in-law does not inherit automatically in her father-in-law's estate. However, if the father-in-law wants to leave something for her, he can make a wasiyat on behalf of her, and then it will go into, it will be given to her as a wasiyah, but not as inheritance.
The next question, Muftisab, it says, as a woman, I feel I want to read Tahiyyatul Wudu or Tahiyyatul Masjid at home. Can I include this with my Nafil Salah of Ishraq and Chast, or should one also, or should each one be read separately?
You see, as far as a lady is concerned, she can definitely read Tahiyyatul Wudu, but Tahiyyatul Masjid, she shouldn't be reading, because obviously Tahiyyatul Masjid is only read when one enters a masjid. Allah Ta'ala knows the intention, so He will give the reward even without that opportunity, inshallah Ta'ala. Tahiyyatul Masjid can be, Tahiyyatul Wudu, the intention can be incorporated into the intention of the Ishraq Salah and the Chash Salah. When she's making wudu for these salahs, she can incorporate the Tahiyyatul Wudu into the intention of the Ishraq Salah or the Chash Salah. She does not have to read it separately from these salahs, inshallah Ta'ala. She will get the reward just by amalgamating it with these salahs, with the intention.
Yes, just a reminder to the listeners, you can send in your questions to on SMS or WhatsApp. The number is 081-437-0565. That is 081-437-0565. Alternatively, you could call in as well, and the number to dial is 011-854-1548. We're going to go for a short break, and inshallah, when we come back, we will continue. Yes, we do have Muftisab back on the line. Muftisab, jazakumullah khairan for joining us. Muftisab, just with regards to the socks, the diver socks question, there's a follow-up question that says that they don't fit the requirements of standing firm. The foot part stands firm, however, the leg part does not stand firm. So do I have to read a qadha for all the salah that I read with these socks?
Yeah, in fact, why, if that is the case, if I don't think it is so, because normally the fabric from which it is made, it is quite firm, generally as far as my understanding goes. But if somebody wore something that wasn't correct, they shouldn't have worn that in the first place without finding out the masla. And obviously if they didn't wear the right kind of sock, they'll have to repeat the salah then.
Yes, and Mufti Saab, the question also says that they're not sure how long they've used it, so how should they calculate
them? They're going to have to do an estimation. They'll have to estimate how long they've been using it, and then they'll have to repeat the salah. If it doesn't, that's why I say rather go and show somebody first before you draw a conclusion whether the salah is valid or not.
Okay, jazakumullah khairan. Muftisab, the next question says that my one friend has a question, and she asked me to send the question through. She says she wanted more clarification from me. Muftisab, will it be correct to participate in a group on social media where members are allocated paras to complete a khatam, where surahs such as Yasin, Waqia, and Mulk are also distributed? The root counts are posted, and as to how many times it should be read. And the sole purpose of this group is to encourage members to do good amals, where we are reminded to correct our intentions for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it says, I myself have increased in reciting more durood since joining the group, alhamdulillah. And they want some clarification on being part of such a group, Muftisab.
You see, being part of a group where people are reminding one another, encouraging one another to make zikr, to read Quran, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a good thing for people to encourage one another, to remind one another to read, to make zikr, to read Quran. Because encouragement and reminders are things that even the Quran itself has recommended. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We're always hearing lectures and bayans and talks with the ulama, always reminding us about the importance of tilawat and zikrullah, etc. So as a reminder, if you're joining a group and in that group they're reminding people that look here, try and read as much Quran as possible, try and read as much zikr as possible, and do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no harm in that at all. But this additional part now, where for example, people are told, okay, you must read this surah, you must read Surah Yasin, you must read Surah Mulk, you must read Surah Waqia. No, that is not in required. That is not required at all. Everybody can read their own Yasin, they can read their own Waqia. Yes, if you say, so look, after Fajr, it's good to read Surah Yasin, so please read your Surah Yasin. Don't forget to read your Surah Yasin after Fajr today. So that is in order. After Maghrib, you are reminding people, read your Surah Waqia. Read your Surah Mulk after Isha. So that's in order. There's no problem with that. But to say you will read your Surah Waqia, I'll read Surah Yasin, so and so will read Surah Mulk, that is not required. There's no need for different people to read different surahs. Similarly, encourage people to read Quran in general. There's no need to say you'll read this para, I'll read that para, and so on. Everybody reads whichever portion of the Quran they want to read. Also, when it comes to the count of durood, etc., there's no need to publicize and say, okay, you know, alhamdulillah, I read 20,000, and you, how much did you read? I read 25,000. That can promote riya and show and ostentation. The idea is we should do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a secret between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as possible. There's no need, if there's no need to expose or mention, sometimes some pious elders mention these things as a form of encouragement for others around them that see so much of durood was recited or so much of tasbih were done by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So other people get encouraged that if they can read it, we can also read. But it should not be made a general practice that every time you read, every day you're reading, you're posting, I read 500 durood today, I read 1,000. And you, how much did you read? Oh, I read 200 or I read 2,000. So one should encourage each other, encourage the people in general, read a lot of durood, read a lot of istighfar, read this zikr, etc. So for that purpose, alhamdulillah, there's no issue, because as I mentioned, it is an encouragement, it's tarheeb, and it is a reminder, it's a tazkir. So for tarheeb and tazkir purposes, it is in order. But it should not be there should be no elements of riya or show in it, and it should not go beyond what it is supposed to be doing, and that is a reminder or an encouragement.
Yes, we do have a caller on the line. Caller, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahib, just some clarity in regard as the varicose vein stockings are concerned. I have a major, major problem with my legs, because if I don't put those varicose vein stockings on early in the morning with a proper wudu or after a bath, then swelling, my legs start swelling terribly because I have terrible edema. Many, many years back, I got a fatwa to say it is okay to put on those socks and make masa over it, because putting on a kuf is also another no-no, because I have a shoe problem as well. So I was told that it's okay
to make masa over those socks, because these socks, Molana, are unlike any other socks. One pair costs 1,300 rands. That is the going price. What does one do now in a situation?
Well, if you have received a fatwa to that effect, practice on that fatwa. Okay. That is in order.
Jazakallah wa shukran, Rana.
Yes, sir, we do have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum to Mufti Sahib as well.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I just like to find out if I got my tooth is paining, Mufti Sahib, can I go and remove that tooth in Ramadan? It's alright to go with the fast, or we have to not fast, or what it is?
Okay, if you have a toothache and you can't bear the pain and you need to extract the tooth, then you can go, but you have to do your utmost to ensure that no blood or liquid or any some particles also go down your throat.
Gee.
Which I think might be a bit difficult. Generally, when there's an extraction, then somehow or the other, you know, something could go down the throat, and that will cause the fast to break. But if that happens, then you have to make qaza of that particular fast, if it does happen. And if you manage to do the extraction without it going down the throat, anything going down the throat, then that will be, the fast will be absolutely in order.
Jazakallah.
Okay. If possible, go in the evening, after iftar time, if some dentists are willing to render their services, then that might be better, because now you're not in doubt at all. But it just depends. I'm sure there may not be many dentists available in the night or in the evening for extractions.
Yes.
But if there are, then that would be the better choice.
Yes, Jazakumullah khair. Mustafa, the next question reads, is it permissible to keep a dog as a guard dog?
Yes, to keep dogs for the purposes of guarding is allowed.
Yes, Mushtaq. The next question says that message that has come through says that I'm 6 weeks pregnant and I'm very nauseous, especially at Sehri time and then by the afternoon as well. What should I do about fasting as it is difficult?
If it is difficult and one is having great difficulty, feeling weak and so on, then it is permissible for a person in a situation like that to forego the fast and make it up later on. That is, you know, whenever it's possible for her to keep the qaza of those fasts, it is allowed.
Yes, the next question is, Mutisab, if a person has to read salah on a chair due to back problem, must they sit from the start of the salah or should they stand first and thereafter sit?
No, from the beginning of the salah, they will sit on the chair and complete the salah in that manner.
Yes, the next question, Mutisab, it's a message that has come through as well, saying that can we put hair oil on the head and can we dye the hair as well?
Yes, in the state of fasting, hair oil is allowed, applying of oil to the head, applying of a dye to the head. Obviously, the dye must be permissible. You know, it must not be a prohibited dye. Yes, then that is allowed.
Yes, Muftisab, the next question says that if someone leaves some goods by you for a very long time, for about 10 years, and what options does the person have? Should he get rid of it? Should he use it? Should he sell it?
And if he's got this goods, you know, and his custody like an amanat that's with him for a long time, and the owner is not, is the owner refusing to collect it, or he cannot locate the owner? See, it's important to sort of understand why he hasn't yet come to take his stuff which belongs to him. If he's lost, the owner himself is lost. You can't find the owner. One is the goods are lost and you can't find the goods, but here you can't find the owner of the goods. So in this instance, he should first try to locate the owner, ask him to take his stuff away. But if the owner is not traceable and a long period of time has gone past, then he may give it out on behalf of the owner as a charity to people who are worthy and recipients of that particular, of those goods. Yeah.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question says, are we allowed to vigil call via Skype or any other media?
This, obviously, we know there's a difference of opinion. Those ulama who say that viewing Skype and video calls, etc., they will say it is allowed. Those who say no, they will say it's not allowed.
Yes, and Mufti Saab, the next question says, can a person read the whole surah, meaning Surah Yasin or Surah Waqia, in your Faras Salah?
One could read, if one is reading on their own, they're not reading, you know, leading the Salah with the Jamaat, and they choose to read a long surah in the Faras Salah, it is in order. The Salah will be valid.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question says, can you give Sadaqatul Fitr as Isale Sawab for the Marhumin?
No, Sadaqatul Fitr cannot be given with the intention of Isale Sawab. Remember, the rule is all farz and wajib ibadat, one cannot make any intention of Isale Sawab in farz and wajib ibadat. In other words, for example, somebody could ask, you know, I read my Fajr, two rakats of Salah of Fajr this morning. Can I convey the sawab of that to the deceased? No. So all farz and wajib actions, the reward of it cannot be conveyed to the deceased. And that would include Sadaqatul Fitr, which is a wajib form of charity.
Yes, the time now is 4:04. We're going to take a break and thereafter the 10 a.m. news. And after that, inshallah, we will continue, Mufti Saab.
Inshallah.
Yes, the time on Radio Islam is 10:11. Welcome back to the Q&A program. And with us on the line is Mufti Zubair Bayat. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question states that, is it okay to give our zakah money to huge organizations? She says that I am worried that some of the money will be used for administration. So does this mean that my full zakah is not distributed?
Yes, if you're not sure about giving it to any organization, don't give it. Give it to those organizations where you have confidence that it will be distributed correctly.
Yes, just a reminder to the listeners, you can call in on 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could send an SMS or WhatsApp message. The number is 081-437-0565. That is 081-437-0565. Mufti Saab, the next question says, is it a must that one's father has to give permission to grant his daughter to get married, and in the instance that the man is a non-Muslim?
If the father is a non-Muslim, he can still consent to her marriage, but obviously, in this instance now, there's no need for a wakil per se, if she can represent herself. So there's no requirement for the validity of the marriage of this girl whose father is a non-Muslim that she needs her father to represent her. She can represent herself and her marriage will be valid.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question reads, is there anything that one should or could read during pregnancy?
One should recite as much Quran as possible. It will be very beneficial to recite Quran in abundance. Inshallah, it will have a positive effect on the unborn child, inshallah ta'ala.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question says that Please advise as to how a musalli during Faraz Salah can go about switching his cell phone.
He should try using a single hand and switch it off without too much of, a movement of the body. He should just try and switch it off with a single, movement of the hand. I think nowadays it's quite possible. You just got to press the off button and it will be switched off, yeah.
Gee, Mufti Sahab, the next question says that I'm not fasting because I had a kidney transplant and I have to take tablets and drink 1.5 liters of water during the daytime. I was told by the doctor not to fast. However, I tried keeping and I kept I tried to keep and I was unable to pass the urine. Is it okay for me not to fast because the effects of my health?
In the situation that has been explained, one is exempted from fasting. If you are able to fast later when you feel better, that will be fine. If not, then one will give the fidya of those must fast, whenever it's possible to do so.
Yes, Mufti Sahab, the next question says that how is nafal itikaf done for a lady for the last 10 days of Ramadan?
Actually speaking, nafil itikaf is performed in a masjid. So, truly speaking, there's no nafil itikaf for ladies. But a lady may cordon off a certain area of her house where she spends as much time as possible in ibadat. She will get reward for that, inshallah ta'ala.
Yes, Mufti Sahab, the next question says that who are the people that you do not have to make parda from?
Those who are regarded as one's mahrams, that is, one marriage is not allowed with them. So all such people, one does not require to make hijab from them. It will be fine to intermingle with them and to talk to them freely, etc., because they are the mahrams of a person.
Yes, and the next question says, Mufti Sahab, can you give zakat to an orphan of 13 years of age?
Yes, one may give zakat if he is needy and deserving. One may give zakat to such an orphan child.
Yes, the next question, Mufti Sahab, with regards to fasting. Is it permissible to swallow phlegm while fasting?
Yes, that will be allowed.
And then the next question, Mufti Sahab, saying that a person has passed away now, his children meet once a month. In this monthly meeting, the paras are allocated to different members of the family, and then all paras must be read within the month. A day is fixed for the next meeting, and all paras are to be read by then. Is that this meeting they make in this meeting they make dua for the Khatm al-Quran? Is this sort of practice permissible?
If the family are encouraged to do to recite Quran and convey the reward to the deceased, there is no problem with that. If they mutually agree to write the paras in a manner that each person gets some part to read, and they do this voluntarily, and there's no coercion or force or compulsion on anyone, and they do it voluntarily, they do it willingly, it is in order. But there should be no compulsion of any sort, there should be no coercion of any sort, that would not be correct.
Yes, Mufti Sahab, the next question is that I have an eye infection. Can I apply an eye ointment during fasting?
Yes, it would be allowed to apply ointment to the eye whilst fasting.
Yes, the next question, Mufti Sahab.
Some ulama advise to avoid it because there is another view that one should also avoid putting medication in the eye. Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahab, Damod Barakatum, and others hold that view. So if you can avoid it, it will be better. But the general ruling of the fuqaha and jurists is that if you apply anything to the eye, it doesn't have an effect on the fast.
The next question, Mufti Sahab, says that for females, when reading Taraweeh with one niyyah for 20 rakats and then your wudu breaks, must you start from the beginning or continue from where your wudu broke?
You shouldn't be reading Taraweeh in such a manner that you're making one intention. In other words, you're reading all 20 rakats with no salam in between. This is not correct to do so. They should read it in units of two at a time. That is how Taraweeh Salah should be read. Nevertheless, if they decided to read all and they were reading rakat after rakat in this manner, and the wuzu broke, then all the rakats will be nullified and one will have to commence from the beginning again.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question says, what is the best form of ithale thawab for a deceased person? The person has left a huge sum of charity money, and should we do it yearly or should we use all the money at one time?
I sort of didn't understand when they're saying he left behind a lot of charity money. Obviously, whatever he has left behind, it goes into his estate. So did he make wasiyat for it or not? And does it exceed one third of the wasiyat or not? Those factors must be considered. They're not asking that question, so I'm not going to answer it in that, because the information is not even sufficient. But I want to make it, I want to create awareness that they should know exactly what is the nature of that money that he left behind, whether there is a wasiyah in place and or not, because it will have a bearing. If there's no wasiyah in place, then it actually belongs to the heirs. And if the heirs, then the heirs will have to give the permission for it to be given as charity. Nevertheless, now after having discussed that aspect, charity for the purpose of isale sawab, or the best form of charity there would be to do what is called sadaqa jariya. Anything that is considered as sadaqa jariya, from which there will be sawab jariya, that is the best form of charity for the deceased as far as possible. So that would include things like, you know, construction of masjid, or contributing towards that, or any institution of knowledge, madrasa, darul ulum, or any charitable functions like hospital, musafir khana, or any other beneficial place where the humanity, the public in general benefit from it. So it could be contributed in those avenues, publication of books, etc. All of these will be included in the category of sadaqa jariya, for which there will be thawab jariya, which, you know, obviously then that is made isale thawab to the deceased, so the deceased continues to receive rewards as long as that article or that building, etc., is in use. The reward will continue to the deceased.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question says, what are the du'as, what could be read to find a good spouse?
One should read 500 times Ya Jami'u daily, inshallah, with the barakat of Allah Ta'ala's name. Ya Jami'u, a spouse will be located in due course, inshallah.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question with regards to the parda as well is that, are your father's brothers your mahram? And also, the next one says that, does a wife make parda from her husband's nephews?
Yes. See, the general principle or rule, if we can explain it, then it will make it easy to understand exactly who is a mahram and who is not a mahram. A mahram is a person with whom marriage is not permissible at all, at any time. That is who we would call a mahram. So your father's brothers, there's no way that you can ever marry them. They are your mahrams. Your own children, your own sons, your uncles, your nephews, etc., these are all considered as mahrams. Your brothers, grandfathers, etc., grand uncles. These are all mahrams, because marriage is not permissible with them under any circumstances. So this is the general principle. If we keep this in mind, then we know exactly who are the mahrams. Now, the specific question, I think, Maulana, was regarding your father's brother. Your
yes.
father's brother is definitely a mahram to you.
Yes.
And I think there was another question about niece, your husband's nephews.
Gee.
Husband's nephews are not mahrams, because obviously if the husband passes away, marriage with them will be considered permissible. Whether they get married or not is a different thing, but it will be considered permissible in the Sharia. So therefore, the husband's nephews are not regarded as mahrams.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question states that what is the ruling for a female reaching bulugh in Ramadan during the fasting hours?
If she reached that age during the fasting hours, then she should, for that duration of time, abstain from eating and drinking, and you know, from the next day obviously she'd start fasting as every baligh person does.
Yes, and the next question says, Mufti Saab, if I pay my zakat for the next 2 years, what happens if my zakat day changes? May I make a general intention that this extra is for the next time zakat becomes due?
You can pay zakat in advance, so to say, but obviously every year you have to do the proper calculation. So every time, say you paid an advance amount of 50,000, say 100,000 rand, and then when you did the calculation of your zakat for the next year, you found that you are actually supposed to give 110,000. So you'll have to add the 10,000 on. But if, for example, you found that you're only supposed to give 90,000, then the 10,000 will be considered as an additional charity, as a nafil form of charity, which you had given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, and the next one also with regards to zakat, Mufti Saab, that an heir hasn't received her share and her zakat date is up. Is it regarded as hers already, or only when it is given to her?
Now, only when she receives it, then will she be liable to pay the zakat, not before that.
And the next one also with regards to zakat. On the zakat date, one finds that he has less than the nisab. Will he use the same zakat date as the previous year?
Yes. Once a person has fixed the date of the zakat, you should stick with that year after year after year.
Okay, and the next question says, Mufti Saab, is zakat liable on point cards and credits? For example, the points or credits one receives on the Pick and Pay credit slips.
As I have not really done any research on this particular masala, Maulana, but on the surface of it, it doesn't appear that zakat will be payable on those things.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next... Mufti Saab?
Yes.
Mufti Saab, the next question says that lady who is sitting in i'tikaf, is it permissible for her to speak on the telephone, and also can she listen to an Islamic radio station?
Yes, absolutely. She can speak on the telephone, she can listen to programs, etc. This is allowed for a lady in i'tikaf. But of course, it must be, you know, necessary phone calls, not the telecom panchayat line, you know, where she's sitting and talking, because they're allowing you 59 minutes and 59 seconds to talk to anybody. So you're just passing time. That's against the very spirit of i'tikaf. But if there is a necessary call that has to be made, then obviously that will be in order.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question states that if a Hanafi is reading behind a Shafi Imam, and on the last page of the 17th Juz, when the Imam goes into Sajda, what should the Muqtadi, the Hanafi, do? Should he follow him, or what is the...
Yes, of course he will follow the Imam. If he's reading Salah behind the Imam, he must do as the Imam does.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question says, what would be the advice or what would be the ruling regarding watching soccer during the month of Ramadan?
This is such an open, issue that I don't think anybody even needs a ruling on it. This is obviously wrong for many reasons.
Yes. Mufti Saab, the next question says that with regards to the tears when someone cries, if it goes into the mouth, will this nullify the fast?
If it is swallowed, it will nullify the fast. So therefore, a person must be cautious not to swallow the tears.
Yes, and then Mufti Saab, the next question stating that if a person has a blister in the mouth, and then what is the ruling with regards to the blood that comes out from there?
One must not swallow that blood. One must spit it out if there is a lot of blood flowing. One should. The most important thing is the blood should not be swallowed.
Yes. The next question, Mufti Saab, saying that the kafara, the 60 consecutive days of fasting, is it for intentionally breaking a fast or for missing a fast as well?
No, it is only for intentionally breaking a fast. Once a person made the intention and then intentionally broke the fast, for that there is kafara. For missing the fast, there is qaza. The qaza is for a fast that has been missed. Kafara is for a fast that was deliberately broken.
Let's move this up. The next question saying that, is it permissible to use zakah money to treat injured animals?
No, one cannot use zakat money to treat injured animals.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question stating that what is the ruling with regards to kissing one's wife during while fasting?
It is allowed, but it is not encouraged, especially, if it's going to lead to heightening of passion, etc., which could lead to the breaking of the fast, so as far as possible it should be avoided. But if it doesn't lead to that, then it is permissible.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question saying that
Obviously, this doesn't entail where there is a mixing of saliva, etc., because in that case, then the fast of both the parties will break if they swallow each other's saliva.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question saying with regards to eardrops, is it permissible to use it while a person is fasting?
No, one cannot use eardrops when a person is fasting. That is not permissible at all. That will break the fast.
Welcome back to the Q&A program on Radio Islam International. The time now is 23 minutes to 11. This is the last part of the program. And if you have any questions that you would like to ask, you can call in on 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could send an SMS or WhatsApp message to 081-437-0565. That is 081-437-0565. Mufti Saab, the next question asking that, is it permissible for a woman to listen to the Quran or do dhikr and recite durud during her menses? Yes, welcome back to the Q&A program on Radio Islam International. The time now is 19 minutes to 11. On the line, we do have Mufti Zubair Bayat. And you can ask your questions either via phone call. You can call us on 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp us or you could send us an SMS. The number is 081-437-0565. Mufti Saab, the next question states, is it okay to use nasal spray while fasting?
No, it should not be used when one is fasting.
And Mufti Saab, with regards to lip balm while you are fasting, what is the correct ruling regarding this?
If it is required, one may use it, provided it doesn't go down the throat.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question saying that is the fast still valid if we delay the ghusl after the time of serious elapsed?
the fast will be valid, but it's not appropriate to delay it so much. And whatever happens, one must not miss Salatul Fajr.
Yes, and the next question says, Mufti Saab, can we brush our teeth during fasting after the seri, like before we leave for work, before going to the office? Is it permissible for us to brush
one
our teeth?
One should not use toothpaste. If one uses toothpaste, it must not go down the throat. In fact, it is makruh to use the toothpaste.
Yes, Mufti Saab, we do have two callers on the line. We're going to go to that calls. Assalamu alaikum, caller.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Gee, sister, your question?
I just wanted to say, I'm 72, I sit on a chair and I read namaz. I was reading my tarawih and I read 16 rakat, and then somehow or the other I forgot, and I read my witr, and I read my two nafil, then I realized I didn't read the last four. And then I read after that, I read the last four. Is my tarawih valid?
It is valid, no problem at all. The tarawih will be valid.
Jazakallah.
Yes, the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. I want to know, what is a dua to read when one wakes up during the night?
One should read the fourth kalima and the third kalima. When one wakes up suddenly in the middle of the night, and we, together with that, add the words Allahumma ghfirli.
Thank you, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah khairan. What's up? The next question stating that will a female's ghusl be valid if water does not penetrate into the earring holes?
Yes, it will be valid.
Yes, Mufti Saab. The next question saying that can the parent discharge zakat to the child who is unemployed and has a huge debt?
No, parents cannot give zakat to their children, nor can children give zakat to their parents.
And can siblings give to their siblings?
Brother? Yes, siblings can give each other. There's no problem.
For that. Okay, Mufti Saab, we have two more callers on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sister. Your question?
Can you answer me on the phone then? Can my stepson be my madam?
Okay, what is meant by stepson? In other words...
My husband's son. I was married to a man who had a son.
Yes, he can be a mahram to you. Fine.
And his son too, my grandson too.
Yes, absolutely.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah khairan. Yes, another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Mufti, I would like to know, are you allowed to wear itokul pendant if you're in a state of hayd or you don't have wudu?
No, you shouldn't let it touch your skin. If it is encased, where, you know, it's behind a glass, etc., it's different, but you shouldn't let it touch your skin.
Okay, Mufti Saab, the next question stating that at what time could we read our Qadai Umrah Salah?
Anytime when it is not makruh or forbidden times.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question stating that is it permissible to use interest to pay traffic fines?
No.
And also, is it permissible to use interest to pay interest?
One should not get into interest in the first place.
Yes, jazakumullah khair.
But if one has gone into interest now and there's no way to come out of it, then some ulama have permitted to use interest to pay off interest.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question saying that what is the effect of not only smoking cigarettes, but smoke that comes out from fires and from vehicles and that while a person is fasting?
Nothing. It doesn't have any effect on the fast, as long as it is not deliberately inhaled.
Let's move this up. The next question saying that if a person or if a lady is breastfeeding during the month of Ramadan, is it permissible for if there is some inconvenience to miss the fast or to not keep the fast?
If it's going to affect her health or the health of the newborn child, then it will be allowed for her to forego those fasts and make it up later.
Yes, Mufti Saab, we do have another caller on the line. Caller, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, while we wait for that caller, Mufti Saab, they're asking, the next question is, to have dreadlocks, is that permissible?
Dreadful.
Dreadlocks, the hair, Mufti Saab, where they're plaited in a
certain way. I'm saying it's dreadful.
Oh, okay.
this type of hairstyle, etc., one should not adopt.
Yes, we do have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Jesus, stay alive on air.
I just wanted to know, my brothers have been accepted for Hajj with their wife. The three have money, but the money is a bit short. Can we give zakat towards the one brother?
Yes, zakat may be given.
Jazakallah.
Yes, next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus.
I just want to know if my stepfather is my mahram.
Your stepfather?
Ji.
Yes. That means you are first married to your mother.
Ji.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Mufti Saab, a number of questions coming through. One that states, what is the fijya for the Shafi Madhab? I just seen it now. I think it's also about 7 and it differentiates from that of the Hanafi Madhab. And also, Mufti Saab.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, Mufti Saab, and the next question, I think it's a repeat question, but maybe Mufti Saab can just clarify it as well. The use of eye drops while a person is fasting.
Use of eye drops is permissible. It doesn't nullify the fast.
Yes, and a person is asking that, I would like to know, what are the benefits of passing away in the month of Ramadan? Is the person questioned and punished?
Inshallah, a person will be protected and safeguarded from the questioning in the grave and punishment in the grave.
Yes, Mufti Saab, the next question with regards to wudu. Okay, first we'll go to the callers. We do have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. I have a question for the Mufti, right? I'm known as a mother person. And when I make my wudu, when I'm wearing my leather shoes, right, my wudu just breaks. So I want to know whether my wudu is valid or not. If the Mufti can give me the answer, please.
Okay, Maulana, can you just explain the question?
Yes, she says that she's a ma'zur. And when she wears the leather socks, her wudu breaks. So what is the ruling when it with regards to the ma'zur?
Ma'zur has to make wudu for every salah time. Every salah time, the ma'zur person must make wudu. So you want to make a fresh wudu every time. You're going to be reading when the new salah time sets in, you make a fresh wudu, and then you can do whatever ibadah you want with that one wudu.
No. I think, sorry, Mufti, you got it a bit wrong. Because I am wearing the leather shoe, right? And my wudu breaks with the one leather shoe. So now, how do I just think? Because normally the Muftis are saying, like, if a person doesn't, how can I put it? If the person themselves are mahzoor, when we're wearing this leather shoes, we don't always have to make the fresh wudu.
No.
No,
that's not correct.
Okay.
Let's understand this carefully.
Gee.
You are a mahzoor, that's a separate thing. Wearing a leather sock, it's a separate thing.
Oh, okay.
Leather socks, you can, as a mazur, you can wear it. A person who's not a mazur can also wear it.
Okay.
If you're wearing it as a mazur, you don't have to wash your feet every time you're making wuzu.
That's what I want
wear
to know.
It once you, before you wear it, you made wuzu, you washed your feet, you wore your socks. The next time you have to make wuzu, you don't have to wash your feet. you can just make massage on the leather socks.
Gee, this is what I want to exactly know.
Okay,
Jazakallah so much.
Jazakallah. Wa alaikum salam. Gee, we have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, I want to know if you can still pay zakat for your parents that have demised, your sisters that have demised. Is can zakat still be paid in their name?
If they didn't pay their zakat when they were living, and they missed to pay their zakat, then you will pay zakat for them. But if they did pay their zakat, then why should you pay zakat for them? What you will do then is you will give sadaqah on their behalf.
I can give sadaqah on their behalf because I would like to continue giving something in their name, you see.
They'll be perfectly in order to do that. There'll be a lot of reward for you and for them, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah, Muhtisab.
Jazakallah.
And have a nice day, Muhtisab, and Maulana, and whoever. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
See, Muhtisab, the next question was regards to the toothpaste and brushing teeth, that if a person did use the toothpaste and it did not go down the throat, is the fast still valid?
The fast is valid, but it's makruh to do that. One should not do this.
Yes, Muftisap, and we're almost running out of time. The final question that has come through, it says, for wudu, does the water have to reach that part of the eye on which kajal and surma is applied? And is the wudu valid with kajal applied on that part of the eye?
Kajal, obviously, I'm not sure now how it operates or how it works. But what we would understand is it's probably similar to surma. So applying surma to the eye doesn't have any bearing on the wudu.
Yes, Jazakumullah khairan for that, Muftisab. The time now is 5 minutes to 11, and with that we come to the end of the Q&A for this morning, and we'd like to thank again Muftisab for joining us on the program. Jazakumullah khairan, Muftisab, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts.
Ameen, summa ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Yes, that brings us to the end of the Q&A this morning. And those questions that have come through and not been answered, inshallah, it will be put forward next week, and it will be the first questions that will be answered next week, inshallah. And from myself, Ibrahim Daya, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.